Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today we have a bonus episode, 2024 quarterfinals breakdown. So, what do I think about these tests? Overall, I absolutely love these. I love the movement selection. I love the length. I think we're going to see a lot more separation than we have in past years, a lot more differences in scores rather than having 7 or 8 minute events where we're hair splitting on movement standards and things like that. So I really love what they did with these four events. I think they're a lot less execution dependent than previous years as well. So for the order, you want to prioritize workout 1 and 2. Obviously they have the earlier submission window and they are a bit longer, so there's more room for error with pacing and possibly more room to improve your score with redos. So to start, workout 1, 4 rounds, 4 max reps of 1 minute of snatches, 1 minute of rowing, 1 minute of dumbbell box step-ups, 1 minute of rest. So 16 minutes with 4 minutes of rest in there. This event, there's probably the most to talk about of each of the four events. The rest is definitely going to bait people. Imagine this is written as a 16-minute AMRAP or a 12-minute AMRAP, and everyone would approach it a lot differently. People are seeing the 1 minute of work, and because intervals are usually written that way, I think people are basically going to misread this and come out way too hot. A 3-to-1 work-rest ratio is not enough to affect pacing that much. Most important thing on this event: row cals accumulate faster than snatches and box step-ups, so you want to aim your effort at the row. Calories accumulate exponentially faster with increases in power output as opposed to meters, which increase linearly. Stop the snatches with 5 seconds left in the minute so that you can get strapped into the rower and get the fan of the rower moving as soon as possible. So the fatigue cost of 1 rep for a snatch versus 1 calorie of rowing is much, much less. So all of these movements tax your grip. These are non-complementary movement pairings, so you want to pace the snatches as if you were asked to do a 4-minute AMRAP of just snatches. This is going to be singles for almost everybody. Okay, how do I suggest warming up for this? So I really would like you to do a world's greatest stretch, which is just going to open up your single leg position, lengthen the adductors a little bit. And then you're going to do 3 rounds of a 3-minute row, 10 empty barbell muscle snatches, 3-minute assault bike, 15 alternating box step-ups. And that's going to get your body temperature up. It's going to get you really nice and loose in the positions that you need. Then I would build to a power snatch single at about 80% of 1RM. This is going to prime your central nervous system and reduce how heavy the 135 or the 85-pound barbell feels. On that, you want to move the bar fast and be snappy and solid. Obviously, you're not trying to, not that you can grind through a power snatch, but you don't want to have any misses or anything like that. You're just going to build up to something that is heavier, around 80% of your 1RM, move it snappy and solid, and then move on. From there, you'll just do a few sets of prep with the actual movements, rowing at your race pace, power snatches at 135, dumbbell box step-ups with whatever load you're using, and then hit the workout. Make sure you cool down as well after all of these. Cooling down seems to help you start the recovery process quicker. It at least perceptually does something for recovery, the evidence suggests. So definitely have a 10 to 15 minute easy assault bike or row after each of these. What is this testing? This is a question that I got on an Instagram live earlier about the quarterfinals. You still have to be very, very strong before conditioning matters at all in this event. So snatches, 135 snatch is over a 50% snatch for most quarterfinals athletes. That is above the threshold where your muscle endurance training status doesn't matter nearly as much as your strength. So somebody with a 275 1RM snatch versus someone with a 225 1RM snatch, the 275 person is going to smoke the 225 person regardless of how fit they are. So strength is still very, very important. Rowing, similar thing. You need to be very, very strong, and rowing generally rewards stronger and longer athletes. And then dumbbell box step-ups. If you think about this, you know, think about your 1RM in a dumbbell box step-up. For most males, that might be 100 pounds per hand, and that's iffy. So a 50 pound per hand dumbbell box step-up, even to 20 inches, is still at least a 50% contraction, probably more for a lot of individuals. So it's still very tough contractions above the 40% 1RM threshold in the case of the snatch, and for many quarterfinal athletes in the case of the dumbbell box step up. So even though you get a really metabolic dose response from doing this sort of work, that doesn't mean that you need to do this sort of thing all the time in the off season. Your off season is likely going to be full of heavy snatches, trying to drive your 1RM snatch up, heavy single leg work, trying to drive up your rear foot elevated split squat, your reverse lunge, your walking lunges. So just a note there on what this is actually testing. Okay, moving on. Workout number two, 3 rounds for time, 50 wall ball shots, and 50 lateral burpee box jump overs. 20 minute time cap. So I love the length of this one. It's very, very long for CrossFit, obviously. It's also very, very dense. Most of your time is going to be spent on the lateral burpee box jump over. Make sure you check the movement standard for the lateral burpee box jump over. It appears that you do not have to be perfectly lateral to the box. And in my experience, jumping laterally is a lot more fatiguing than jumping straight on perpendicular to the box towards it. So I think most people are going to square up to the box, or at least be at a 45 degree angle somewhere between perpendicular to the box and lateral. And that is going to save you some energy, especially when the sets are really, really dense and 150 reps, which is quite a lot. Plan to work for all 20 minutes in this workout. 15 reps per minute, which is a pretty competitive rate for something like this, lands you right at the 20 minute mark. So it should only start to suck at the 8, 10, or 12 minute mark. These are also non-complementary movement patterns, just like the first one, where you're using your grip in each movement. So you want to break the wall balls early. So if you think you're an unbroken or a 30-20 wall ball guy or gal, you had better be hot shit, because I think that people are going to see that 50, that first 50, see only 3 rounds, and totally underestimate the work requirement. Treat this like a chipper, break it up early, should only start to suck about halfway through. Okay, how should you warm up for this? I really like World's Greatest Stretch for this one as well, since you're going to be stepping up to the box with load. And then a goblet squat hold is just gonna open up your squat position a little bit. Then you're gonna warm up with 3 rounds of 5 minute assault bike, 15 goblet squats with the weight of the med ball that you're going to be using for wall balls, 10 push-ups, and then 5 sprawl box step overs to 24 inches. And then prep, you're just going to do a few sets, 3 sets of 10 wall balls, 10 lateral burpee box jump overs, the exact movements that are in the workout. Get a feel for your pacing, get a feel for your step up, get a feel for your jump, rest 3 to 5 minutes, and then hit workout two. Next, we have workout three. I don't think doing workout three or four first matters very much. I don't think the order is going to impact your score very much at all. And also on these workouts, they are a little bit shorter than the first two. And I think with this movement selection and with this length of workout, these workouts are going to be much less influenced by a redo than workouts one and two, where there are much more reps, longer time frames, and bigger pacing considerations. Okay, so workout three is 3 rounds, 10 handstand pushups, 20 toes to bar. Immediately into 2 rounds, 10 strict handstand pushups, 5 rope climbs. Immediately into 1 round, 10 wall facing handstand pushups, 20 ring muscle ups, all in 15 minutes. So I think we're going to see a lot of scores that are measured as reps in this quarterfinals. I love this gymnastic only test, and I love the movement selection. I love that they got rid of GHD sit-ups. They were a pain in the ass to film and judge in an online setting, and they also create a ton of fatigue and a ton of muscle soreness, so I'm just glad they got rid of them. This is still a hip flexion limiter, though, so if you trained with me, then you did a shit ton of tempo GHD sit-ups and V-ups and just hip flexion training, because it has showed up every single year in the quarterfinals. And here it is again. Even though there's not GHD sit-ups, hip flexion is going to be a significant limiter for people on this test. I think we'll see separation at every portion of this test, which is one of the reasons I think it's so good. I think it's such a good test because we're going to see lots of separation at every movement in the test. But there is definitely going to be separation based upon hip flexion. People are going to be limited in their lower abs and in their hip flexors. You want to avoid that pumped feeling in those muscle groups on the toes to bar. So break the toes to bar early. This is going to mean fives for almost everyone. People see a set of 20 toes to bar, they think, oh, I break those off all the time. Yeah, but you're going to do 60 toes to bar and then 10 rope climbs and then 20 ring muscle ups. So if you are feeling a pump in your hip flexors or your lower abs on the toes to bar, you are in way over your head. There's also no penalty for breaking toes to bar. You can jump right back up, give yourself a little break, and significantly lower the amount of metabolites that are in those muscle groups and significantly increase your ability to move through the rope climbs and move through the ring muscle ups. So break those toes to bar early. Handstand push-ups, you have what you have. It's handstand push-ups. Don't overthink it. Don't fail a rep, but you really just have what you have when it comes to handstand push-ups. How should you warm up for this? Okay, I like plank waves as a warm-up. It's going to get you into that global extension, global flexion position, in and out of that, but at a lower tension. You could also do some slow rower pike-ups, although those don't have the global extension component. So I really like plank waves for this. Just 2 to 5 minutes, get yourself loose in that global extension, global flexion position. Then you're going to do 3 rounds of 5-minute assault bike, 15-second dead hang, 10 push-ups, 5 toes to bar, 1 rope climb. That's going to get your body temperature nice and high. Then I want you to build to a strict press single at 80% of your 1RM. I want you to move the bar as fast as possible on the warm-up sets and on the top set. This is going to prime your central nervous system. It's going to recruit some really fast twitch muscle fibers, and it's going to make the handstand push-ups in the workout itself seem a little bit easier. Then I want you to hit a couple of sets of dead hang to inverted. So this is where you're upside down on the rings and then you lower your hips and slowly, slowly, slowly lower your legs out of that pike position. So you'll do 2 sets of 3 slow reps there. And this is a very similar concept as with the strict press, but you are doing it in that global flexion pattern. Next, prep, you're just going to do 2 sets of 5, 3, and 3. Handstand push-up, toes to bar, strict handstand push-up, rope climb, all the movements that you're going to do in the workout itself without creating very much fatigue at all, but you're just going to touch each of them. Rest substantially, 4 to 6 minutes, a little bit longer than the previous warm-ups just because the shoulders need a little bit more time, and then you'll hit workout 3. Finally, workout 4, the strength test. This is with a continually running clock. Complete as many reps as possible in 10 minutes of clean and jerks, rest 1 minute, 10 clean and jerks, rest 1 minute, 10 clean and jerks, rest 1 minute. And then finally, max reps of clean and jerks at the final bar. This is a strength test. The strongest athletes will win this test. The percentages are high enough. Give yourself as much time as possible on the final bar. I do not think that fatigue from the earlier bars will matter very much because you'll have more time at the final bar. So it's really 6 and 1. Again, this is a strength test, so you just want to be a BMF. If you are familiar with that acronym, that is what you want to be on this workout. For this warm-up, I would just hop on the assault bike for 10 or 15 minutes, get the body temperature up. Then I really like Greg Everett's of Catalyst Weightlifting. He has great barbell-only clean and jerk warm-ups. I would do 1 to 3 full sequences of his warm-ups. I prescribe them all the time. I love empty barbell warm-ups. Do more empty barbell reps. Then you're going to build to an 80% power clean and jerk single. Move the bar fast, be snappy and solid, rest 3 to 5 minutes, and then hit workout 4. Okay, guys, that is it for our quarterfinals recap. I love these tests. I love the movement selection. I love the length. We're going to see more separation. They're less execution dependent than previous years. Thank you guys for listening. If you're listening on Spotify, please rate and share the podcast with a friend who needs to hear this. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe, and I will see you guys in the next video.